We're glad that you're here so very much. It adds to our worship to have you with us, and we're grateful for your presence. When people are gone from home, it's a good thing that they look up the Lord's people and worship with them, so we're glad to have them with us today. I want to talk with you this morning about something we have to do, and there's something about human nature that doesn't like the idea that I have to do something. When we start talking about having to do something, there's something that just sort of irritates us, that we have to do something. But sometimes we get in a situation where, like it or not, we have to do it. May not like it, and yet it's thrust on me, and I have to do that. Sometimes there are things that are compelled, and sometimes there are things that are voluntary. I have to do it whether I like it or not, but sometimes I know that I should do that. And there are things that we look at that we have to do that are sometimes good and sometimes bad, at least from our viewpoint. And then we have to recognize, well, I can put it off just so long. I can procrastinate, but after a while, it's going to be able to have to do it. So sooner or later, I've got to do these things that I have to do. And in the long process of our study, we'll notice that it has to do mainly with things of this time and for eternity. So when we start talking about things that we have to do, we recognize that some of these things are relegated to this life, and sometimes they're relegated to eternity themselves. So some things that we must do in this life, we talk about, and again, let me see if I can go on. When we look at the word must, just from the dictionary standpoint, it's something of a compulsion. You're compulsed to do that, or you have an obligation to do it. And that's many times what we don't like, when we sort of have the idea that it's an obligation, a requirement, or a necessity. And you look at your life, and I look at my life, and there's some things that are absolutely necessary that we do if we're going to be able to live and do what we should. And those things that we must do have a certainty to them, or an inevitability. These things have to be done. Now, I might put them off, I might not like them, but they have to be done. And we talk about death and taxes. Yeah, death is something we're going to have to do. And if we're going to live a while, we have to pay taxes. So we look at these things. These are a couple of things that people complain about, moan about, that I have to do. And we recognize it's a blessing to live in this country, but we have to pay taxes, and eventually I have to die. Bible principle in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And so we have some things in front of us, whether I like it or not, there's some things for my benefit and for my good that I must do. So the consequences are, if I just say, well, I'm not going to do that. And so I hear about people. In fact, I knew a friend, someone that I knew that was a preacher out in West Texas. He didn't pay taxes for 5 years. Well, they looked him up. And he had to recognize, I've got to pay those back taxes plus interest and penalties. And he thought for a while, seriously, about committing suicide, because it was a real bad situation to be in. And what he did was, he just said, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, you have to, by some things. And it may not be pleasant, but it's consequences if I don't do it. And there's some things you just can't evade. You know, you can wiggle out, you can try everything, but there's some things you just can't evade, and you can't shift to somebody else. My Social Security number is registered with the country, and it's my Social Security number they look at. And so we have to look at those kinds of things. And when it boils down to it, eventually you just have to do it. That is, if you're going to survive, if you're going to have your life in order, if you're not going to suffer the consequences, eventually, even though you may not like some of these things, you just have to do those. Now, I understand that in this life, there are a number of things that are distasteful that we have to do. But brethren and friends, there's some things in the spiritual life that we ought to do, and eventually we're going to have to do it if I'm going to go to heaven. Just have to do that. There's no way to get around it. There's no way to evade it. I can't point it to somebody else and say, they did it. I blame them. It's something that I have to do. And this is the personal responsibility of being a child of God, and also of a blessing of going to heaven. So some things we have to do. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must, there's our word, must, believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, with the internet today, you can go online and you can find the atheist who snub their nose at God. And what they're going to say is, I don't like it, and I'm not going to do that. I don't believe in God. That's bad for me. And they're just going to put it off and not have anything to do with God. But you know, sooner or later, they have to believe in God. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, they're not going to be any atheist. Because every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Now, while we're here and we confess Jesus Christ, it's for our glory. If we wait till it's too late, we're still going to do it. But it'll be to our damnation. And so you see, there's some things we just have to do. And now then, confessing Christ in this life is something we do in time. But you know, this is really for eternity. And now that, I can't get my mind around eternity. I heard it described one time as a sparrow flying from earth to heaven with one grain of dust in its mouth. And when it's transported all the earth, one grain at a time, from earth to the moon, 1 second of time in eternity has just passed. And I can't understand that either. You know, there's just no grasping in this life of eternity. But if you're going to go to heaven, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, it's time for introspection. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? You must, in order to go to heaven. This is some of the musts that we look at. But there's another. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3 and verse 7, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. It's not an option. It's not something I can decide to do. Now, in life, you can say, I will not. Many people do that. And I recognize that this is not a popular subject, and people sometimes don't really understand what it means to be born again. The Bible's real clear about that. We'll look at it again in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 6, where it talks about being baptized into the death of Christ, whereby you're raised to walk in newness of life, that's the new birth. When you're baptized, you're buried with Christ, and your old sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. And when you're raised a new creature in Christ. To go to heaven, you must be born again. You must. It's not an option. Again, people say, well, I don't like that. And I feel like I'm being compelled to. And it's bad for me. I just don't like that. But sooner or later, either you're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, or born again, or you're lost. And in being baptized, I'm baptized now in time, but it's really for eternity. See, I'm looking way ahead. In class this morning, we had a really, really good class. But Joel was talking about 1 Corinthians 10 and the information that was put down there about the ancient Hebrews for us today. And they were telling us, you know, these things that happened to them by way of our admonition and learning, upon whom the end of the ages have come. We're in an age called time now. The last age of the earth. There was the Garden of Eden. There was the time of the patriarchs. There was the time of the Mosaic Law. And now there's the time of Christ. And there won't be another age. We're in the last age. And I must be prepared to meet God in eternity while I'm in time. You must be born again. Each of you, please take this into heart. If you haven't done that, you're not going to heaven. Doesn't give me any joy to say that. But I think as a preacher of the gospel, I must tell you this. But you can't go to heaven without being born again. And that's not my word. That's not my authority. That's the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave His life on the cross of Calvary. I read last year where one of these young millennial ladies talked about God, said, who gave Him that authority? Man, she doesn't know anything, does she? Who gave God the authority? He is the authority. He made us. We owe Him everything. And so we talk about what we do now for time and we must do for eternity. Comparing two scriptures sometimes really helps a lot. I look at something, I'm not quite sure, but I let the Bible describe it and it helps a lot. Romans 6 also describes the new birth. But in Titus 3 verse 5, comparing the two side by side, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said in John 3 was that the new birth composed of water and spirit. Titus 3:5 says the same thing. And the Romans chapter 6 says the same thing. So it's very clear. If you're going to go to heaven, you must be baptized. Now somebody can say that irritates me. I don't believe that. Well, the time is coming when you will. And see, that's just something that you must look at. Time and eternity. You're not arguing with me. And you're not arguing with the Church of Christ. You're debating with God. And I don't think anybody ever wanted to debate with God. Go back to the book of Job, and we found Job sort of debating with God. And in the book of Malachi, we found the Jews debating with God, but they lost. And so will we if we debate with God. So we must be born again. We must worship God correctly. It's amazing what people invent. I talked to you a few months ago about this preacher that he wanted to impress people, so he came down from the top of the auditorium on a wire like he was flying in. And they had a zebra come walking down the aisle to impress people. What does that do with worshiping God? And you have people that do all kinds of things on television. Jesus Himself said in John 4, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to be His worship. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I recognize that our services are not an extravaganza. You know, there are some people in worship that you really don't know whether they're from Las Vegas, an act of Las Vegas, or whether they're worshiping God. You can't tell the difference. Because the kind of music they have is the kind of music they have in some kind of Las Vegas act. And you have all kinds of things that are being done to impress people and to entertain people. And the simple worship of New Testament Christianity is not jumping and shouting and clapping and entertaining and having a zebra walk down the aisle or having the preacher be in a clown uniform and all that sort of stuff. That's the object of that kind of worship is toward the people. Our worship is toward God. So how do we worship God? We sang about the cross this morning. That's how we worship God. We had the Lord's Supper this morning. Do this in memory of me. That's the Lord's Supper. That's how we worship God. And when we think about the things that we do, our hearts are heaven directed because we recognize that everything we do is about God. And so when we talk about the Spirit, John 4, the Spirit of worship, it's a spirit of worship that elevates and glorifies Almighty God. Paul said to hide behind the cross of Christ. There's some television preachers that have no idea what that means because they glorify themselves. I wish I had a dime for every time Joel Osteen is grinned. My, I'd be rich. People like that put themselves forward as the answer. And that's not what God wants. You see, Jesus Christ glorified. And we must worship Him according to truth. Well, instrumental music is not according to the New Testament. Transubstantiation instead of the Lord's Supper is not truth. Having a man call himself a priest with his collar on backward and telling you that he has the power to forgive your sins is not truth. You see, you just, if you can't read about it in the Bible, it's not truth. You must worship according to the Spirit and according to truth. Now, God gives us free will. And so you'll look around and people will be doing everything they want to do. And you have huge crowds. Huge crowds. Not too long ago, some of the churches were offering trips up in the Northeast on buses for members to look at the colorful leaves. What's that got to do with worshiping God? Yes, I know nature is God-given, but the church is not the one that ought to offer trips to the ski capitals of America or to the leaf capitals of America. That's not the work of the church. If you want to go see leaves, by all means, go and thank God for the beauty of nature. If you want to go skiing, just don't break your leg. But it's not an act of the church. And people get so confused about that. When we come together, I know with a lot of young people, this is boring. Because the kind of music that's out there today is wild, and it is something that challenges you to do what you want to do, anything you want to be, and music is such a force in young people's lives. And then we come together and we sing Jordan. Stormy banks of Jordan. What's that got to do with anything? Everything. Because we're going to cross over. See, Jordan, in the biblical language, is the idea of crossing over death into the promised land. And yes, you must cross over Jordan. And so we need to think about things like that. And there's a place for recreation. If you want to go to Six Flags, go to Six Flags. If you want to go on a skiing trip, go on a skiing trip. But don't expect the church to be the one to offer those kinds of things. We're going to go to heaven together. We're interested in going to heaven together. Our building is not much. We have plans to build a new one of these days, but this building doesn't describe the church. It doesn't describe who we are. If you're looking for a place to worship God in spirit and in truth, this is the place. Because everything we do is bound by the Bible, the Word of God. We must worship God correctly. We must take our salvation seriously. Brother Joel gave a good illustration this morning of people that just don't believe the Bible's true, about the illustration of the fan. Here's the fan that didn't have the guard on it, and somebody said, well, you stick your finger in that fan, it'll cut your finger off. He said, well, let's see. Oops. Cut off his finger. Oops, did it again. Cut off two fingers. Oops, you're right, it cuts off fingers, doesn't it? Do you have to experiment like that about sin to know that it's deadly? I mentioned something that I saw. This young lady was going to testify to people on the beach. It was during the Easter break. And that's when the college kids go down to the beach and they have their spring break. So she put on her bikini and went down to the beach, and she was going to testify to these young men. And she was dancing with one on the beach, and she whispered in his ear, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, if I was, I wouldn't be here." We play games about this. We're not serious about going to heaven. Now, I know you've got to work and make a living. I know you've got things that you have to do at the house. And I know Black Friday was just not long ago, and people were crazy. Black Friday, out buying stuff. And I was glad it was raining. But, you know, people just act like there's no tomorrow. And the Bible talks about your life being like the dew on the grass. And it's true. I had to live to be 80 years old to realize that. And I look back and my life was just a whisper. It was just about gone. And you know, it does change attitudes. Somebody that's 13 years old doesn't even think about death. That's for old people. But you read the papers, a lot of people die young. In car accidents and drugs and alcohol and murders. Oh, there's so many young people being murdered today. And that's why the Hebrew writer said we must give the more earnest heed. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. Have you made up your mind to go to heaven? Now, I know it's up to God, but it's also up to me. Have you made up your mind that you intend to go to heaven? Now, I know it takes God's help and it takes God's forgiveness. But in my preaching, I've said many, many times, we can't go to heaven perfect because we're not perfect. But we can go to heaven forgiven. Yes. And that's what every one of us is if we're a child of God. And I need to give heed. I need to listen to the writers of the Bible. I must give earnest heed. And so there's the Apostle Paul, and there's Peter, and there's James, and they're the gospel writers. And all of their talking about ends up in the book of Revelation, pointed toward heaven. And the Bible tells me Jesus is coming again. And He is, not to this earth. He's coming to receive us unto Himself in the clouds, and then we'll go to heaven. But like it or not, I better think about salvation. Like it or not, compelled, I can't compel you. And you know something? Here's one of the great things about God. He's not going to make you think about this. If you want to go to hell, you can go. He gives you that ability. He gives you that freedom. He's not going to compel you to be a Christian. He's not going to compel you to go to heaven. And there's the good and the bad of it. The good is heaven, the bad's hell. And that's the reality of it. Sooner or later, we're all going to be there. You know, we're going to be at the judgment day. Every one of us. Nobody's going to be late. Nobody's going to say, well, I've got better things to do. We're all going to be at the judgment day. And time will be no more. And eternity stretches out in front of us. I can't even begin to describe that. I wouldn't even try. But it's real, and we need to understand that. And so we ask to God, we must answer to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Like it or not. Like it or not. Who made God judge? He did. He is the judge. It's going to be compelled. Everybody is going to be at the judgment day. And it's going to be good or bad, depending on what your deeds are and how you've been forgiven or not. And I don't know when. In the bulletin, we were talking this morning about the rapture, because a lot of people misunderstand the rapture. And they think that some are going to go into paradise early and others later. And that's just not true. But sooner or later, Jesus is coming back. In Acts 17, Luke the writer said that Paul mentioned the fact that God has appointed a day. It took me a while to realize this. We say, and we don't know when the judgment day is coming. But according to Acts 17, God has appointed a day. It's out here fixed. And I'm moving toward that day. Now, I don't know when it's going to be, because I don't know where that point is fixed. But it's not just wandering around. It's fixed. And I'm moving toward that day. What kind of people then should I be? Because time will be ended and eternity will begin. And I must be ready. You must be ready. And so this is a lesson this morning of somewhat solemnity, seriousness. I don't want to scare you or anything of that nature. At the same time, I'd like you to think about going to heaven. That's what this lesson's about. Be prepared to go to heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, and this is the time of our preparation. We're getting ready to go to heaven. You must get ready. And I pray that this lesson will be of help along the way. Help us recognize that heaven is real, God is the judge, and heaven is forever. We must go there without the loss of a single one that's here this morning. Think about that as we sing a song of encouragement. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ, I'll repent and come back home to the Lord. Would you do it now while we stand together and while we sing that invitation number? Please come.